So again, I'm Susan Drummond, the Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is Wednesday morning, October 10th, and we are moving to the second item on the agenda. This is a shoreline variance for a single-family residence. It's case number 18-02700. The approach we'll take on this will be similar to the first item on the agenda, although I think this one will go a little bit faster. We'll hear from the planning department first. They'll provide a summary of the proposal, then the applicant may present, and we'll open this up for public comment. Anyone who is here who wishes to testify may do so, and then the applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions which come up. So I think with that, Mr. Heacock, you ready to go?
Good morning.
Good morning. Your name for the record?
And my name is Steve Heacock, and I'm a senior environmental planner with Department of Community Development.
And you support Health and
I do.
Thank you.
Do a little record keeping here first. We've got items for the record, exhibits 1 through 16, which includes the staff report.
All right. I do have those.
Uh-huh. And then we've got a couple of placeholders. We have a revised site plan that incorporates the number of parking spaces, which is something that's kind of recently changed with code.
Okay.
So we have a revised site plan for the record.
So that'll be 17.
Okay. And then we also have a no net loss report that was modified to address some of the concerns that were raised by the shoreline reviewer from the Department of Ecology.
Okay.
So that was part of the memo here as well that we had provided. There was a comment letter from Misty Blair, Department of Ecology, and also a comment letter from the Port Gamble Sklallam Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So that was rolled in, if you will, to address that.
So that's supplemental report from the technical consultant. So that would be then exhibit 19?
Yes, and so we have the staff presentation.
Is 18.
Would be 18. That's this basically the PowerPoint here that we're looking at.
Okay, and then the supplement to the no net loss report.
Yes, okay. Well, we can have that as 19, right?
Okay, those are all admitted.
Yeah, great. Yes, okay, so here's the... Thank you. Okay. Well, we have a variance before us today, and the variance procedure in Kitsap County Code is very strict in relation to meeting certain thresholds. There's thresholds for dealing with no net loss as one component, but there are other thresholds in a variance criteria where we really have to look very carefully at what the ask is. And in these kinds of variance situations, we have to be assured that it's not the applicant's fault, it's not from the applicant's actions that we have this situation, and that there's no detrimental impact. We're also not looking at anything that anyone else doesn't have in the area. And in this particular case for the shoreline variance for Jeremy Foster, we have all met all of those considerations. That's really the meat of a variance procedure, is that all of the variance criteria need to be met in order for this to happen. So I want to just roll through real quickly with a presentation. This site is located in the Driftwood Key neighborhood. It's a plat that was platted in the late 50s, early 1960s. So this plat was created and you know, the property itself and the location on Teal Lane is just adjacent to Coon Bay. It's right on Coon Bay, which is a sub-basin of Hood Canal, the Hood Canal shoreline. It's up in North Kitsap, the very northern end of Kitsap County. So when we looked at this, we also see that we've got a zoning designation of rural residential, requires one dwelling unit per 5 acres in a plat that would occur today. But in this particular case, it's a plat that was created well before we had the zoning rules we have today. The shoreline residential is the shoreline designation for this area, and a typical proposal, if you will, would require an 85-foot buffer on the shoreline and with an additional 15-foot, and I've abbreviated, building setback line, BSBL. Here's the critical area map. The major feature that we see in the critical area map is obviously, you know, we've got the shoreline designation, and then we have a mapped flood area here. We do, in fact, have a LOMA, and what a LOMA is from, it's basically a survey that the applicant has asked the through a procedure with FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency, that a LOMA is a limited map amendment. So we have a limited map amendment document that's in place that indicates that this flood zone is not correctly depicted on this property. So the LOMA document itself is substantiated, and it will be further substantiated in the building permit once the applicant gets the building permit through the procedure. But the LOMA itself is allows construction. Obviously, it just says, hey, this is not in the flood zone. And so it's a survey procedure. Let's see here. Here's an aerial view of the site. And let's see if I can get this mouse going here. Great. Come on. That's not going to help us here. If that is, oops, that's working. Well, I can talk you through it here. If we look at the mid ground of the photo, right in the very center of this aerial photograph, you'll see a vacant parcel, and that is the Foster parcel. It's located again in the Coon Bay area. It's on a spit, and this area, for historical reference, this whole area was an estuarine wetland in the past, way back when, and they actually dredged this bay out. You see the marina there to the and this is looking actually toward the west, this aerial photo from taken from Department of Ecology's website as part of the their shoreline review. But the marina itself was created as part of the subdivision, and in fact, almost every lot has their own additional pier, ramp, and float, and is set up for individual boats on each one of those lots. This particular dock was built in, I think, about 2010, somewhere in there, and was permitted through a hearing examiner process, a shoreline conditional use permit. So the boat that's there is part of an appurtenance to that particular building site.
Is that the CUP that Ecology was referring to?
Yes, correct. Yes. Okay, we'll carry on here. This is the site plan, and I think that essentially the only thing that's really modified from this site plan based on the review from our land use associates would be that we've added an additional parking space in this particular setting. The parking space as required by code requires three parking spaces, and the original application had two spaces. So we've just have that laid out there. And it details a little bit further, you know, on the site plan. I've got a feeling, though, that, oh, you know what? This particular slide that I'm showing here is actually the one that's submitted under the record. This is the revised. Yeah, this is the revised site plan. So this is, I incorporated the revised site
exhibit
plan
17.
Here, exhibit 17. Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah. You'll see on the face of this map, there's the north arrow. Coon Bay, again, is to the west. And the adjacent parcels are developed, as we saw on the aerial photo there. And, you know, some of the other concerns that we have to look at in relation to a variance criteria is to make sure that that the application meets the view line. There's a shoreline view line component, and indeed they do meet the view line. In fact, are located behind the view line, so there's no view line consideration. One more thing to note in this site plan is that we do have an area on the property that had been bulkheaded, but it was for protection of the dock itself. So that went through a review procedure with Department of Ecology, the Shoreline Conditional Use Permit, and it was deemed necessary to protect that dock feature. There was undercutting and undermining of the dock itself. And so that bulkhead, if you will, that's built there, you'll see photos here in a second, it was required to be constructed to protect that structure. And as part of that action, there was a shoreline stabilization that also occurred, but it was more of a vegetative shoreline stabilization. So it was not considered armoring. And in this particular case for this application, there's no further armoring that's proposed either. It's, there'll be certainly, though, augmentation of the buffer and a full restoration here on this property. So we'll get into the weeds of that here in just a second. There is the house itself is a one-story house. One of the constraints on this property that makes it a little bit more challenging in relation to variance criteria is that the Driftwood Keys covenants require houses to be under 22 feet in height. And so because of the covenants themselves, it would be impossible to do a two-story house in this area. It would be considered a view blockage problem. There's also that problem with vegetation, and that we can't ask for large trees to be installed because they also have that same consideration about the 22 foot. So we would have to plant trees that would grow shorter than that, or the trees have to be modified. So that's to afford water views of Hood Canal for the large subdivision that's behind this area. We'll look at that in just a second here too. Here is the Exhibit B from the no net loss report. And as you'll see here on this proposal, we have shown the bulkhead, the ordinary high water line, Coon Bay's mark there. You've got the north arrow showing it's just slightly off from north to be the top of the property. And Teal Lane is shown with a revised driveway going into the garage, This particular slide does not show the three parking spaces, but that, again, has been addressed. There is a deck that's also proposed that's around the side of the house and is incorporated into the dock. And so the some of the replanting work will be on the edges of that dock, of the deck. And additional plantings will occur. What the specific ask is in this case is that we would have a requirement for a 20-foot vegetative buffer from the ordinary high water line, and we're modifying the typical building setback to 5 feet so that there would be, you know, an area around to walk around the house, obviously, you know, where a walking path would be. It's not really a buffer, but for maintenance purposes of houses and things like that, if you had a buffer all the way up to the edge of the house, it just wouldn't. It wouldn't be intact. And that's the whole ask, if you will, in relation to buffers. Here is just a little bit of more information, and I included these slides in case you had any particular questions about the sequential buffer analysis that the applicant's representative had provided here, which is an excellent document that shows the house, a portion of the house within what we would call the 25% of the reduced standard buffer. So that's on this document here. About a third of the house is within that 25% reduced standard buffer. So that's shown on there, 37.5 feet here in that ask. And then also, again, we're showing where the 85-foot standard buffer would be impossible to build on this property because of the drain field requirements. That's really what is driving the house to be built closer to the water. And then again, the size of the house is also a constraint in relation to the covenants of the Driftwood Keys Homeowners Association. Here's a little bit different rendition of the reduced standard buffer, and then this shows a little bit more detail of buffer impact assessment and the amount of square footage in each one of those spaces. So you can see that 1205 and the 455 within those regions there. And then a bit of a portion of the garage. It's a very small modified garage. The garage really isn't if we remove the garage, we would still have the requirement of the drain field and reserve for buffering buffering requirements with this residence. So even if we didn't include the garage, it would still have to be that setback from the drain field and the reserve drain field would needs a separation from the house itself. So the garage isn't really considered an additional ask in this case. And then here's the buffer mitigation planting. You'll see in a dashed line here the indication of the 20-foot buffer, the 5-foot building setback. And then this is showing that we're also looking to replant in that 5-foot zone. There'll be some other plantings that'll be placed in that within that 5-foot zone. But we wanted to at least demonstrate that the 20-foot buffer is going to be met and part of that mitigation area. And you'll see as well that some of the mitigation is also going to be on the south side of the house too. And then again, as I indicated, around the existing dock and associated with the side deck, there's replanting, significant plantings that will occur in those areas too. Here's some photos of the site itself. This was a photo taken looking toward the north. There's Coon Bay shown here. This is essentially a high water event right here. There's pickleweed on the shoreline itself. This is dune grass that's planted on the jute matting, in between the jute matting there, and those areas will definitely be augmented significantly with this particular action. But I just wanted to show that. You can see the footing of the dock as well. Here is a land view of the dock looking back toward where the house is going to be. And again, showing the dock, the kind of the approach to the dock. And then some of the deck, part of the deck will come up to the front edge of this, of the pier, that landing to the pier. And then this is a water view of that same situation. More at it's not at low water by any means, but it's a lower tide. You can see the high tide, kind of wish the mouse was working, but about halfway up the rockery is the high water line. You can see it's a little bit darker in color. Again, there's some pickleweed on the shoreline down below, and the plantings there. And then you can see the house, the neighbor house. That's the neighbor house to the south. And this house will be tucked back behind that as well. Won't be a view line intrusion again, as we discussed. I want to go back to kind of the overview of the, I maybe didn't include that, but you can see the density of all these parcels here in the zoning map. This is a very dense neighborhood, and this is one of the absolute last houses that's going to be built in this area. It took an awful lot of work to get to this point, but what we want to substantiate is that all of the shoreline components here in this particular ask have been met. The no net loss report is mitigating those particular impacts. We really don't feel that there's anything that's out of whack also in relation to the previous conditional use permit. But what we have included here are several conditions that are going to address this. The no net loss report, basically, in the revised no net loss report, was constructed so that it also incorporated any kind of repair that ecology had pointed out and asked about in their letter. And then I think in relation to the tribe, they received the staff report, and I haven't heard anything after that, but I did send them additional documents. And we'll be sending them the revised no net loss report.
Okay.
So I'll include a discussion with them as well. I know we had a noticing problem in this particular, just because of our, I think because of our unusual date that we had here.
Yeah. So I'll keep the record open.
Yes. Yeah. And then I can also address any communication that I have with the tribe or with ecology in relation to this.
Okay. But there's nothing further at this point right now.
Nothing further at this point, correct. Okay. Right, yes. So we're recommending approval. We've reviewed this. They did an excellent job. The no net loss report was really well done. And we just, with the conditions, do recommend the approval of this particular shoreline variance application.
Okay.
Thank you.
One question for you. Yeah. On table two, this is in the staff report.
Uh-huh.
The front yard would be, that's on the east, right? Is that so that on
yes.
the T lane?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
I'll just flip those.
Then. Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Right.
Okay. All
right. Right. Yeah, that's the east. Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Got it.
Thank you.
And then it looks like, are those the other vacant property across the way? That's are those state lands?
That is, I believe that, let's see, you're referring to, let's go back
on this
here.
Chart, state-owned aquatic
land. Yeah, that I think is part of a park property in the Homeowners Association, I think. I think they use that as a little area park. I'm not positive about that though. I can find out if you'd like me to.
I'm just curious.
We can look on Parcel Search and figure out who the owner is. I think it might be Triple Keys Homeowners Association that uses that lock. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is the applicant here? Did you wish to step forward? Good morning. Good
morning.
Your name for the record?
Jeremy Foster.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Do you have anything to add to the staff report or any questions?
Real quickly, the double lot across from it is mm-hmm. privately owned.
Oh, okay.
So I know that the owners live in California and have no plans to develop at this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
I just wanted to say thanks to everybody, and I also wanted to, for the record, express my wife's and I's enthusiasm to not only comply with the mitigation, but exceed it. You know, we're really excited about planting native species that will mitigate for the functional purpose, but also for the aesthetic purposes. So.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the sign-up sheet, it looks like this was, Mr. Foster, this was you, Robin Myers, looked like that. Is there anything that you wanted to add on this? And your name for the record?
Robin Myers.
Do you sort of tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to thank Mr. Heacock for his staff presentation. I think he did a great job representing everything with Foster's proposed variance. I do want to state that Mr. Foster came to me very, very early on. He worked diligently with me and the team. He understood the sensitivity of the site and came up with a really great plan in regard to having a beautiful house on the shoreline and meeting our no net loss requirements. The size, I did want to emphasize that the size of his house is basically within the neighborhood jurisdiction or neighborhood representation. Sizes on that spit usually run around 1,600 feet to 4,400 square feet. The common use was well placed adjacent to the home as opposed to in front of the home, which these are just sometimes just common practices that biologists and our shoreline regulators like us to see. The planting that is shown on the mitigation basically was shown to meet our mitigation goals for no net loss. The Foster's intent is to basically fill in mostly everywhere. The planting schematic includes species that you can trample on, our native kinnikinick, that kind of thing, low-growing vegetation. So the intent is to have dense native vegetation all around the structure, even out to the standard 85-foot buffer, and that'll help with rain dissipation to the site. And I know that they are committed to getting that planted and also to follow up on the shoreline protection conditional requirements from the Army Corps of Engineers. So. Thank you, Ms. Examiner.
Thank you. Okay, it didn't look like there was anyone else on the sign-up sheet. Is there anyone here from the public who wishes to testify on this proposal? All right, let the record reflect that there is not anyone here who has indicated a wish to testify. Anything else from the planning department? Okay, as I indicated earlier, I'm going to keep the record open on this due to there's a question on the posting and the notice on that. I think we went about 8 days, so that would be... Maybe we should just do it through Friday next week. Yeah, so we'll do through Friday next week, close of business at the planning department, or with actually Ms. Anna. The comment should go to the clerk rather than to the planning department. So we'll keep the record open for written comments through the end of next week, 5 p.m. And then a decision on this will be out within 10 business days. And then Ecology, though, has the final say-so on this. From the close of the record. So I probably won't need that long, but that's the maximum I'm allowed. I think that's it. Or anything else that we need to address today? Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you all.